It's time for Pro Wrestling Unscripted with Double H and Mr. 100.
Well, howdy indeed, ladies and gentlemen. This here is Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. No, we're going to stop that right now. I'm going to just put the...
Oh, come on. I was waiting on it so I can go like... that's what it is. Yeah. There you go.
Put the kibosh on that immediately. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight for the evening. With me, of course, we have the one and only Perryville's favorite son, Double H.
I don't even know where that is. I don't know what we're talking about.
It was you or Boxdorfer. One or the other.
Or Dalton, who's literally from here.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, I was tempted when he introduced me to just hit it with the
Yeah, but
the Eagles born out of thunder.
I'm pretty sure the people listening are not going to respond to the pageantry at all. So
no, there's no way.
There'd be no point to it. We're
fly
here
through the night.
We're going to talk about some wrestling tonight. It's the first show we've done for wrestling in a couple weeks.
Couple weeks.
I'm sure we missed some important things, probably, but.
I mean, last week I assumed we were going to talk about the draft, and I think okay, if you go back to last week's PZ85 After Dark, actually the AD from last Thursday at the beginning, I talked a little bit about the Britt Baker shirt, the AEW shirt,
Yeah. That was your wrestling for the week time, right there.
Yeah, that was the thing I hated most of wrestling last week was that dumb fucking shirt. I don't care how much they defend it. I'm sorry, that's a dumb fucking shirt. It has no signifier of who this person is other than a picture on the front of a woman with a black eye.
Here's a pretty girl.
Britt Baker's not that famous.
Yeah,
she's not that famous. I'm sorry, you're just not. And the AEW logo underneath it does not help. That's not going to accomplish it. Hold on. I got to do this real quick.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Joining us for absolutely no reason
for the
right
first
now
time ever
is Jesse Kimble.
Wrestling Unscripted. Yeah.
I may have clicked the wrong channel.
Hey, buddy.
But I figured I'd say hi anyway.
I think so. Like back in the day when you had a physical studio to do all this shit and you had multiple doors, this is the equivalent of not having like on air lights out front and somebody just walks in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, hey. But now
Jesse,
you just click in.
Jesse, while we got you here, just really quick, now, as you don't know, Jesse, every week on the nerdiest part of the ring with Dalton and Asa, they use the power of positivity. They talk about the thing they loved in wrestling the most this week. Here on this show, we take the opposite approach. We talk about the things hate in wrestling this week. I know you don't watch wrestling week to week, Jesse, but if you had to say, what is your least favorite thing in wrestling? What was the thing you hate most in wrestling?
I actually have a pretty like sizable list of things that drove me crazy whenever I would watch wrestling with you guys, but probably the most like mind-numbingly infuriating is any ladder match where you have like the otherwise perfectly like capable individual struggle deeply to climb the ladder and then struggle with the clip. Like, you always know when the belt is actually coming down.
Yeah,
because of how they walk up and how they get it.
It's when the amnesia wears off and they go, oh, yeah, that's how you climb
a
fucking
ladder.
Oh, why
did I climb the ladder?
I just got to...
It's
when the carabiner, you push in on the little little spring and then it's fine. You just slip it out.
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing with like the cage matches where, you know, the objective is to climb the cage and get out.
You know...
drives me up a fucking wall.
That reminds
now, Shannon,
me.
Shannon, when you as a wrestler understand, when you get whipped into the ropes, you have to start running back in the other direction, right?
No one whips me into the ropes, I don't think. I don't know if I've ever taken...
that's the best possible answer we could have gotten.
I legitimately don't know if I've ever taken an Irish whip, now that I think about it. They've hit me with weapons, but they've never whipped me into the ropes.
They definitely make you think that those ropes are straight up elastic, and if you don't keep running after you run into them,
what are you gonna do?
You can't stop. That's just called
stop.
That's just physics.
You can't stop the momentum.
That's just physics.
That reminds me of cartoons. I don't know why, but when you watch, especially like the old cartoons, and they would have the static image that they were on, you always knew what was going to be interacted with because the item was just a slightly like
different color.
Yeah. And yeah. You knew that was going to get touched or something.
That's it.
I'm just sitting there the whole time going, oh, Bugs is going to grab that coffee cup. Watch this.
That's because the background, if they keep moving left or right, you'll see the same thing after about 5 or 10 feet. Yeah. It just rotates over and over.
Just goes
back. That's how they save money. They can't animate like that long of a scene. Come on.
No.
They're, those little Korean hands can only do so much. I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's the only exercise they're allowed is just to draw more cells for the animation.
I don't know. That just reminds me of an SNL joke where they were doing when Michael Che was talking about, I forget who it was, but they had the brilliant idea to make a like sweatshirt that said coolest monkey in the yard, and they had a black kid wearing it. And Michael Che said it was made by the saddest kid in the sweatshop. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah.
All right, Jesse, we're going to get back to wrestling. Get out of here.
Thanks, Jesse. Right.
Bye, Jesse.
No problem. Get out of here. Go on, get.
Jesse's been making a lot of unscheduled appearances on the shows lately because I pull his ass
in. I'm telling you.
That wasn't even my fault.
This is how it used to be. You had the doors, and then you didn't turn the light on. Somebody comes in, and they go, oh shit. And you're like, no, you're here now. Go on.
Be part of the show.
Say things. Now you say things.
So, back to what we were talking about. The thing I hated most in wrestling this week, and it's the Puerto Rico crowd. I hate the Puerto Rico crowd.
Really?
Because they made me realize what a shit crowd the United States crowd is, even more.
There it is.
Because the crowd for...
I was going to say.
Oh, my God. The crowd for Backlash and SmackDown were so good. Yes. Like, mind-numbingly good. I read that a lot of people in WWE, especially the talent, want Backlash to permanently be set in Puerto Rico after the time that they had. I don't blame them, man. That crowd made everything feel huge. Like, we'll talk about it here in a little bit when we talk about Backlash. But the Bad Bunny match, the Carlito run-in, the Savio Vega run-in, the crowd treated Savio Vega and Carlito like it was, you know, Hogan in the...
Oh, Hogan in the Rock show.
And the Rock showed up at the same time. Yeah. It's insane. So, yeah, man, that Puerto Rican crowd was awesome. But it really... made me realize how much I hate the American. Because, you know, the Japanese crowds are great. Pretty much all foreign crowds are great. And then you get to America where we throw beach balls, we chant, "We are awesome."
I get it. It's the first time in a long time that they've been to Puerto Rico. They don't often get shows like this. The overseas shows are usually not huge ones. They'll do like a Raw or a SmackDown and then they'll move on with their lives. Or they'll do like a non televised tour, you know.
Yeah.
They'll go over there and do some house shows and stuff. But, like, is that really an excuse for you paid? And I get it. You paid $60, $70, $80, whatever, for a ticket. And then you go there and you can do whatever you want while you're there. That's great. But, like, if you're there and you spent that money because you like this, you know, sure, I guess you could go see a bad show and you don't like that. But, like, you're now part of the participation team. Like, you're there to participate. That's part of it. You don't have to get out of your seat and act like an asshole like those guys that were three rows in front of us at Raw, you know, a couple months ago.
Ridiculous.
But, like, make your noise and cheer and boo. And, you know, you like these people or you don't like – or just boo, at least. If you don't like them, make some noise and tell them you don't like them. Like,
right.
Sit on your hands, you lazy, you entitled son of a bitch.
This is why
I'm hyped up tonight, man. I don't know what's going on.
Good. Get hyped. Stay hyped. It just reminds me.
I'm
so
untethered,
and your rage knows no bounds. I'm a car too, you know. Hold on, let me hit this.
Drink this gasoline.
So whenever we started out in CCW, me and Asa, Allie, and Dalton, we were front row. Like Boxdorfer was there a couple of times. Mandy was there before she started doing camera work. Tanner was there, and Jason said this. He was like, "You guys led the crowd." Like you were the leaders.
Tastemakers.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we would sit there, we would cheer, we would boo, we'd play along, and we kept the crowd loud and hot. So when we started working with CCW at first in behind the scenes role and then in front of the camera, you know, Jason and Big Lee and Ken at the time would always lament that they lost their tastemakers. Now you didn't have the guys in the crowd that were pumping the crowd up constantly that were leading them.
Let's get real. You guys were the only reason anybody gave a shit about me. I mean, you know, I had that low level, like, local celebrity. They knew who I was. And right. So it was like, oh, yeah, it's a guy. I've heard him on the radio. They didn't care. They didn't care that I was there. But you guys were there hyping me up. And so everyone else was like, oh, shit, all right, let's hype him up, you know.
This guy must be something good. Let's do it. Yeah.
I never had the – I legitimately, to this day, have never had the experience of sitting in a CCW crowd. I've sat at local like indie, you know, wrestling shows. But I was never in the audience for any of those shows.
You were in front of the crowd.
I was gone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, came back a couple of years ago. But even then, I was backstage the whole time until we went out and did the thing.
And that wasn't awkward.
No, not at all, Tanner. So, you know. it's you've got to have some level of involvement there. And really, I mean, the thing that kills me about it is the more that people do it, the fewer people have to be involved. The more people who get involved, the less you really have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everyone's doing it, then you don't have to go crazy with it. But like you guys, like you said, it was almost like work. And you were there, like, trying to get people involved and rallied and then up into shit. And it's just not necessary.
And it keeps happening. It keeps happening, too, because, like, you know, Caleb Carter. Caleb was a big crowd guy. And now he does ring announcing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God we got Kurgis. We got Zach Kurgis and Johnny and Taylor. Those guys and Eddie. Well,
Shannon, I know. You know you're behind the scenes and all, but I don't know if you knew. Those guys are a new stable, and they're going to be facing you next month.
That's not true. That's not true. I know Kurgis can't wrestle because he's only got like one lung. So,
and even that one's on.
And that was on thin ice. Man. Yeah. So
that one somewhere just now, he even knew I was talking about it, and it was like shuddered, like please no.
And Zach started coughing on the blunt, was like, oh man, run, mama mia, lungs are rough tonight.
Oh, mama mia,
mama mia.
What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know.
How did we get here?
I'm just thinking about last night. And play Call of Duty and just say Mamma Mia.
Every time we died. And then we played a game on Shiva and you couldn't even get one out before you'd have to say it again.
Or Steven.
Oh shit, Mamma Mia.
Or Steven dropping words he shouldn't be dropping. Mamma Mia, Steven, calm down.
Look, that boy had kidneys. And by the way, let's give it up for Steven Bright.
Shot for Steven Bright there, yeah.
Now that I experienced a kidney stone earlier this year, just to hell with all of that, man.
Yeah. Not a fan.
They were doing horrible things. Let's go. Give it up. Had surgery. Whoa. Was just laying around it for 3 days in a pee.
What was that?
What happened? What?
So when you said give it up for Steven, they're going to hear this on the audio. You can't hear it, but they're going to hear it. You said give it up for Steven, and I clapped, right?
Yeah.
Well, you paused. Your screen paused. And I was like, oh, did my internet cut or something? But then you started talking again. Yeah. Like, okay, it was just a blip. But then everything we said for the past, like, 30 seconds just...
all came out at once.
And it was just like... and fuck.
Ooh.
Like, somebody hit rewind on the tape player, you know?
Yeah, somebody's in control of the simulation.
All right, well...
fuck this up.
Goddamn. Fix my house, goddamn.
Here's what I hate about wrestling
in this world. Now, Hunter, from what I understand, there are two wars...
There are two wars going on now. I hate the fucking draft. And here's the thing.
Yeah,
I hate to admit that, honestly, because I thought from the moment they announced the draft, actually, I hated the concept of the draft at first, because the very, very first one, I didn't really have access to SmackDown. And I knew what was going to happen. And he was the first fucking pick. They drafted The Rock to SmackDown. And I was like, well, there goes, you know, at the time, my favorite wrestler. Like, never going to see that guy again. And I kind of didn't. I mean, really, until he started showing up on Raw a few times later. Like, I didn't see Rock much after that. That sucked. I hate the draft now kind of the same way you hate the audience. But really, for me, it's more because it has such potential. Like, it could be such a cool thing.
It could be a game changer.
Yes, they have an extremely – WWE has an extremely deep talent pool, like an extremely deep roster that if you split it up and legitimately split it up could be so interesting. Give more people time to work on TV, more people characters and stories and things to do. Plus, you build that tension of like, oh, this guy's huge over here and this guy's huge on this show. What if like once or twice maximum a year, like they could run into each other. Mm-hmm. And it used to be WrestleMania. Don't even fucking make it WrestleMania. WrestleMania's got its own thing. There's enough going on WrestleMania.
Or Survivor
Series.
That's
your Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Yes, that's your King of the Ring. You could do the King of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring tournaments like that way. But
in Saudi Arabia.
It could be. Yeah, well, you know. It could be so cool, but it's not. It never is. Like, right out of the gate, the World Heavyweight Championship, we've already bitched enough now. I'm not going to get into that all that much. But the thought was, and not the thought. Triple H said specifically, Roman Reigns gets drafted to whatever show he goes to. He takes his belts there. This belt then goes to the other show. Like, Roman Reigns literally cannot win this belt. A week later, Triple H goes, all right, the tournament's going to be guys from Raw and SmackDown. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, why?
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 Because, I mean, we all know it's not going to happen, but just, I mean, the immediate logical problem is if a guy from SmackDown wins it, that means that guy from SmackDown takes the belt back to SmackDown, right? Where Roman Reigns is. Who could win the belt? Are you just going to tell him he can't face that guy? Does he get drafted to Raw? You've never said any of this shit.
I think it's just assumed.
Fucking spell it out,
yeah,
man.
I just assumed that if a SmackDown guy won the Raw title, they would just go to Raw. But even so,
then why waste a draft pick on him?
Yeah, that's pretty silly.
What's the point?
Imagine, you know, if this were real sports and you drafted, who was one of the top drafts to SmackDown men's side?
Edge.
Yeah.
AJ Styles.
Okay, so let's say AJ Styles. Let's say AJ Styles wins the tournament and then he goes back to Raw. Well, there goes your pick.
Right.
Congrats.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So then does SmackDown get somebody from Raw like in return? Why does Raw have to lose a guy because a guy from the other show won the belt, but then he was
that was never for
like
their
no
show
brand
to
loyalty
because right.
they never for them to. It's dumb. It's just fucking dumb. If you don't have enough people on the one show to run the tournament, then why are you doing it? This would have been a perfect opportunity to highlight somebody who you'd been like, "There's no way that guy's going to win that belt," mm-hmm. but now maybe you're thinking, "Okay, he might." Because I mean, okay. The guys on Raw, they had two triple threat matches, right? So it was The Miz, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Finn Balor,
wait,
right?
No, it was... Yeah.
No.
Miz, Nakamura, and... was that the
Seth belt? Seth Rollins, right?
I can't remember which one. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
The six guys were Miz, Shinsuke, Balor, Cody Rhodes, Rollins... Damian Priest.
Oh, wait, it was Rollins, Priest, and Cody. Yeah, Rollins, Priest, and Cody. Because I'm pretty... Well, fuck, now I don't know.
No, because Balor was in that match. Balor is the one who won because Cody got taken out by Lesnar.
So then it was...
Rollins, Nakamura, and The Miz.
Which would leave...
Balor, Cody, and... Nope, because Priest had to be in one that that Balor wasn't in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
Well, now I'm curious. It was Rollins, Priest, and who was the other ones? I got to know now. Rollins, Priest, and
Rollins, Priest,
and
Balor, Cody, Nakamura, Miz.
Yeah, and then it was Priest, Rollins, and Nakamura, and then on the other side it was Miz, Balor, and Cody. There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
That's it.
Sure. Yes.
That's it. We're not talking about it anymore. That's it.
And we did it. And it's done.
We figured it out. Yeah. All right. Let's go.
So point being, that means you have three other triple threat matches on SmackDown, or two other triple threat matches, six other guys on SmackDown who are going to compete in this. Here's just a handful of names from the current Raw roster who could have participated in this. Chad Gable, who's a huge name right now.
Sheesh. Sorry.
Right? That would have been great. You know, he's not going to win, but like, what if he did? What if he was in the running for it? Drew McIntyre is on Raw. Where the fuck is he? Why is he not part of this situation?
So, for the record,
you don't have enough people. Gunther is on Raw. I know he's the Intercontinental Champion.
For the record, when it comes to Drew McIntyre, the big rumor is that his contract is expiring, right?
But he's still under contract.
Yeah. Well, can't use him because, you know,
Jinder Mahal. I know that sounds like a joke, but Jinder Mahal was legitimately WWE champion for a while. He did it when he had backup from the Bollywood Boys. I forget what they were calling him at that time. Now he's got Indus Sheer backing him up. It's the same deal. Instead of just running a random promo with him, put him in the running for it. Why not use Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn? I know they're tag team champions. It doesn't matter. Put them in the running for this. Matt Riddle. Why is Matt Riddle not in this tournament?
Because he's in the storyline.
Yeah, again, or like new people. Odyssey Jones, like, is supposed to be a big deal. They're bringing him up. Put him out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for these
things. You can't tell me your roster is not deep enough to run this thing on Raw. Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods is the only member of the New Day who has not been World Heavyweight Champion, right?
Right.
Perfect. A perfect opportunity to put him in one of those triple threat matches instead of just running a bunch of guys from SmackDown for it who, again, no matter how good they are, Edge, AJ Styles, all that, you know they're not going to win. You know they're not going to win because that belt's not going back there.
Well, what I love about it is they're letting people from SmackDown buy for the title, and they're basically saying, okay, we know none of you have a chance at winning against Roman.
Right.
So,
right.
Here you go.
That's another thing.
That's kind of insulting.
And then at the next, yeah, at the Night of Champions pay-per-view, and I know it's a pay-per-view, but that means you're going to have Raw versus SmackDown not 10 seconds after you started a new draft and a new brand split, and this time it's real, and this time it's serious. I feel like a fucking abuse victim. I keep coming back and going, no, this time the draft is going to be cool. They're going to do it right. It's going to be serious. They're going to take it seriously. And I remember watching the draft picks and going, I just became Dennis. Like, I don't care either. Like, who fucking cares? What difference does it make?
Hey,
you can watch them all on every show. It's all arbitrary. It doesn't. It's very nihilistic of me, I know. But
let's give it up for golf participant Paige Spiranak real quick. Let's just give it up for her.
Yeah, it sounds good. Now, who is this and what they do?
I don't know. She's a golfer, but she looks like a porn star, and so she's popular for that reason. I guess. I don't know.
People are giving it up for this person.
I don't know.
I don't know that they need any more of giving it up. And the last time we gave it up, it got moving too fast. Things got wacky.
I pulled up my something. I was going to look up a story for this, and it always starts on that like basic page with like all the different stories like you can click on. That's like the home page, I guess.
Yeah.
And one of them was Paige Spiranak, you know, congratulates fans for winning with busty pick. Everybody's a winner. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I clicked on it and I looked at her and I was like, okay, yeah, I get it.
Okay, Cap.
She's
before we move
what
on.
What about wrestling
draft,
now? We're talking about wrestling, right?
I'm kind of segueing like the things that I hated into the draft too. Can we talk about how dumb the free agency thing is?
I think it's brilliant for people that stay a free agent.
Yeah. So you have this is the weirdest stable you've ever heard of. Here are your current free agents: Baron Corbin, Brock Lesnar, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, Dolph Ziggler, Elias, Mustafa Ali, Omos, Von Wagner, and Zion Quinn, who both got called up from NXT to not be assigned to a show.
Whoa.
Now, here's the thing about free agency. Let's clarify.
I gotta ask.
Yes,
you.
The Von Wagner.
Who the fuck is Von Wagner? Thank you.
He was in NXT. He was a dude in NXT. So I know you're wondering to yourself, like, oh, they're free agents, so that sounds bad. Well, it sounds bad until you recognize that free agency means they can work either show whenever they're asked to do so. And why would you not want that?
Right.
Why would you not want to be a free agent? Because it seems that you can go anywhere. You can vie for championships. You can, you know, when you get sick of people on one show, you can go work for the other. The kayfabe is not matching up with the reality of the situation. Like in sports, being a free agent is a bad thing because you're not working with a team, which means you're not getting paid
like
the way that you would. You're not part of a roster. You're not going to get any playing time. You're not just like a mercenary. You're not some hired gun who could just come in and do whatever you want. Mustafa Ali just won a match on Raw this past week through like shenanigans, but he won. He beat Chad Gable, actually, wasn't it? Or Otis. He beat Otis.
Otis.
Otis, yes. He won his like last three matches, and he's probably going to SmackDown. He's going to win one there too to continue, you know, some little streak. The man's a free agent. He's working twice as much as everybody else, so he's got to be making more money and having more opportunity. The kayfabe doesn't match your internal logic. Wrestling, if there's nothing of wrestling that you can say of it when it comes to the way it works, your internal logic has got to be solid. If you set up rules, you got to play by them.
Right.
Wrestling doesn't hold up to scrutiny when you try to take it too seriously. And the draft is in and of itself wrestling trying to take itself too seriously. It's the most like we're sports now. We're real sports now. You're fucking not. It's all arbitrary, especially since they no longer have general managers.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts too. There's nobody making picks for these shows.
Yeah, like, I didn't get that. That's all right. So you know, fuck it. It's the draft show now. It's the draft bitching show. Backlash was great. It was really good.
We'll get there.
Go
we'll get
watch
there. We got
it.
Time.
the thing that drives me nuts about the whole draft thing is the fact that there's no general manager anymore. You don't even have the facade of, okay, well, these are split brands with split people running them, and each side right. wants to make the other side.
And they're making choices.
Right. Well, that instead, you just had random guys come out. You had fucking Rob Van Dam come out. You had Eric Bischoff
and
come
Eric
out.
Rob Van Dam, who, by the way, did you see red from an upside down card?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. But in Rob Van Dam's world, that was right.
That was correct.
That
yes.
was correct.
Every presenter said it, you know, with the next they're trying to do the sports thing again with the next, you know, in the sixth round with their draft pick, Raw selects whoever. SmackDown selects who are these people?
Who are the
people selecting them?
Yeah,
Adam Pearce appears to be the general manager for both shows. Is he like that? Does he do that thing where you play chess and you just go from each side of the board, like making decisions? I don't.
Also, why?
I don't get it.
Why? All right, God damn it! Now you got me fucking
agitated. Yeah, I told you. We're gonna get it all jammed up here.
Why? I've always hated the fact that like, if you're Raw or SmackDown, you can pick individuals or you can pick entire goddamn groups. Like I'm looking at the draft right now.
And it's the number so one arbitrary.
The number one pick overall was the Bloodline. It was Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, but not the Usos. For some reason, even though they're part of the Bloodline.
Yes. You couldn't draft them together. No.
The Street Profits.
But you can have the entire New Day, all three of them.
Imperium. The entire Imperium group. The OC.
Oh, Imperium that way. But then the Judge. Oh, yeah, the OC is all four of them, right?
Four of them.
It's all four people.
Four people.
But then the Judgment Day drafted differently because Rhea Ripley is SmackDown Women's Champion. So she got drafted, and then the rest of them got drafted together.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No, the LWO is an entire thing. Why is that not your first pick? You get a Hall of Famer in Rey Mysterio. You get three other handy talents, and you get Zelina Vega.
Right.
Why would you not pick five people, one of whom is already in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense the way that they do this.
No.
It doesn't make any sense. If I'm actually, like, drafting, I would absolutely pick like the biggest groups possible. I would get the LWO. I'd get the groups because now they only
LWO
have
immediately.
Raw only has eight people on its roster now because I've selected all the groups and now I've got everybody.
Right. And here's the thing. I know a lot of people are against the idea of you got to have a general manager to make the picks because the general manager storylines suck. It's always some heel trying to hold a guy down. And we've done that. You know, that's Vince and Austin. That's Bischoff and Cena. We've done it a million times. Adam Pearce is actually a really good example of why that's not a problem. One day, Adam Pearce just showed up on TV and was calling the shots. They never said, like, oh, Adam Pearce is this new official. He's very neutral. He's kind of a face, actually. He's mostly, like, telling Roman Reigns, hey, knock it the fuck off. But, like, for the most part, Adam Pearce just does his job. He keeps Brock Lesnar and Cody apart as best as he can. And he answers people's complaints. And is like, all right, we'll see what we can do about that. We'll do this. We'll do that. He's a great example of that. You can have two of those people. You've got a million former wrestlers backstage who are helping to plan matches. Adam Pearce was credited with producing matches for Backlash, so he's doing other things aside from his on-screen role. Why is this not Jason Jordan's job?
Yeah.
Why is this not Jamie Noble's job? Like, any of these people who you have available to you who would be interesting to see on TV doing that, make them the general manager for the other show. And then at least you can have some segments of them being like, all right, you know, I've made my picks. I've got my suggestions. Here's what I want. This is what I want to do. And that's it.
I was going to say, the only time I could remember it feeling like that was when it was Eric Bischoff and Stephanie McMahon. And they were
Paul Heyman. Bischoff and Heyman did it too.
And it made more sense because you had it could have worked with Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce.
Yeah, Adam Pearce, when they were both doing it.
But no, they took away Sonya Deville. Adam Pearce sometimes is in charge, so it doesn't
make
a lot of sense.
Do you remember who the very first general managers were at the very first draft? Because it wasn't Bischoff and Stephanie.
Was it Teddy Long? No.
Mm-mm. That was even later. It was Ric Flair for Raw and Vince McMahon for SmackDown.
I forget about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and say what you will about both of those guys, they're awful. But
they're terrible people.
It was big time shit.
Yeah.
Like, it was huge. Well, Vince wasn't even a general manager. He just owned that part of the company. That's when they were doing that weird, like, he owns this and Flair owns this thing. And
are you talking about when Vince McMahon decided to inject poison into WWE to kill it by bringing in the NWO?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, here's the thing, though. That's three fucking people. Cap, I hated that storyline. Vince is like, I'm bringing in the NWO. They're gonna destroy WWE like they destroyed WCW. Nah, it's three fellas, people. Get everybody out there to beat the shit out of them. Three guys. All right. You're making me mad now. You're making me mad.
If you remember a draft that'll really piss you off, it was a couple of years ago. It may have even been last year. Do you remember the Raw and SmackDown War Rooms? The USA Network War Room and the Fox one? The gif that came out of like drafting Natalya and everyone in the room was like, yeah!
I remember two things about the draft. That absolutely upset me. One was when Triple H got drafted, and then the other place traded like seven wrestlers for Triple H.
Booker T and the Dudley Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. They traded away three major talents. Actually, maybe before, because I think Spike came with the Dudley Boys at that time.
Just for Triple H.
Four major talents. Just to
stroke Triple H's fucking ego.
He was straight jorking it in the club that night.
Oh, by it. He meant his peanuts.
His peanuts.
The other one was when Jim Ross got drafted. And do you remember this?
And he didn't know. And he didn't know. Yeah, they didn't tell him.
What a shitty thing to do for a guy that gave you so much.
You wonder why he left and is never ever considering coming back until Vince is dead.
That's
never going to happen.
Well, Hunter, I'm looking
at put him in the Hall of Fame when Vince is dead, and that'll be it.
I'm looking at the draft right now, and boy, there are some real game changers here. So the Bloodline went from SmackDown to SmackDown, which is crazy. Yes. Cody Rhodes, former Raw superstar, now appearing on Raw.
I love this bit. This is phenomenal.
Becky Lynch staying where she's at on Raw. But hey, you got the Street Profits.
Remind me real quick, who got top dollar? Because I need to know.
Let me see where they are on the list here.
Let me help you. It's SmackDown, and nobody cares.
Oh, okay. They have Edge listed as Raw superstar going to SmackDown. Was he a Raw superstar? I'm pretty sure he was on both shows.
On Raw?
Right.
He was on everything whenever he needed to be.
The Imperium did go from SmackDown to Raw. That's cool. I mean, that's cool. That's a big group right there. Matt Riddle.
But what happened then was you knew Austin Theory was going to go to SmackDown because he had the U.S. title, and you can't have two mid-card titles on the same show.
Just like Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, who my coworker insists on calling Rhea Ripley, and I'm going to fucking hit him at some point. Rhea Ripley.
Interesting.
You remember a couple years ago?
He had an A there, and he's going with an I sound.
You remember when they did the draft and Becky and Charlotte were going to exchange titles?
Yeah,
and Charlotte ended up throwing hers on the ground and pissing everybody off.
She was being a fucking diva.
All right, this one's big. The Miz staying on Raw.
Man, unbelievable. Honestly, unbelievable.
I can't. How is the landscape has changed? The landscape has changed.
The company will never be the same again.
I'm looking at the supplemental draft and. From SmackDown, and literally everyone staying on the show they were on except for Chelsea Green. I'm sorry, Sonya Deville went to Raw because she's teaming with Chelsea Green now, and JD McDonagh went to Raw because he's on NXT, and then Natalya and the Viking Raiders. Wow. Changing the landscape of professional wrestling.
I'm gonna solve this. We gotta do something positive because it's gonna drive us crazy. Here's how this needs to happen.
Okay.
The next time this comes around, let's put all the good ideas we've had together. They do this thing next year, right? So here's how the draft works next year. First of all, there's at least one person guaranteed in charge of each show. And whether that's like Adam Pearce and some producer or Triple H himself or whatever, I don't give a shit. Just figure out something. Somebody's in charge of Raw. Somebody's in charge of SmackDown. You can say Shawn Michaels is in charge of NXT if we need him. We'll come back to him in just a little bit. So first of all, you've got somebody who's making the picks. They have a specific reason why they want these people. Secondly, the draft itself is actually just NXT call-ups. Because that's really most of the time what a draft is. When people are in a draft pool, you're pulling
people draft from the college.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So the draft is just NXT call-ups. You do it in one night. You don't have to do it across two fucking nights. But if you want to do something on each show, the first night, the draft itself is just NXT call-ups. And each show gets like five people or whatever. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. They get five people and that's it. And you're not taking the whole fucking tag team. If you get a tag team, the other team, your team gets a tag team. Whatever. It's got to be even. Secondly, the next time that you do this shit, like that happens on Raw, right? On SmackDown, it's a trade night. instead of a draft, that's a night where you have, like, I'll put this person up for trade. And the these people are available. Yeah. Yeah, basically, I'll go, okay, here's my entire roster. Here are the people I'm willing to trade, and here are the people I want. Let's talk about what I got. Let's talk about what you got, and we'll work it out. And you just have some backstage segments where that shit happens. The actual draft on Monday night, you can actually have, you know, the NXT roster there. They have the podiums. You call them up. You shake their hands, blah, blah, blah. But on SmackDown, the next, you know, the later that week, it's just backstage stuff of the two general managers meeting. Here's our existing rosters. Here's who you got I want. Here's who I got I'm willing to give up, and let's work some shit out. And then over the course of the show, they announce, like, moves. And that's it. That's the whole thing. That way, everything is either a call up or somebody moving from one show to another. I don't need, like you said, I don't need to know that, you know, LA Knight has been drafted to SmackDown where he already is.
Right.
And literally nothing
changed. Then he's not really being drafted, is he?
Right. You're just retaining him.
Also,
that's not the same thing.
Here's the wrestlers who were not included in either draft pool. They were completely ineligible for drafting.
And it's fairly big, which is weird.
Alexa Bliss, that's huge.
Yep. That's huge. She's been all over a bunch of other shows lately.
Oh, I love the reasons that it says. Okay, so Alexa Bliss, inactive due to skin cancer treatment. Does that make you inactive for a draft?
Yeah, she's long since healed from that, from what I understand. Again, she did that show That's My Jam with, like, The Miz, who, again, was drafted. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, he didn't go anywhere.
But let's just say creative has nothing for you, and be honest about it.
All right, so let me get this straight. Have you ever physically seen Alexa Bliss? Like, not.
I am vaguely aware. Yes.
Are you aware of her great work and the fact that she looks like a model, and you don't have anything for Alexa Bliss?
Extremely talented, gorgeous. Has been consistently mistreated and unused. Yeah. Since the whole Firefly Funhouse thing fell apart, they kind of teased that was going to happen again. I guess that's going nowhere.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because here's some other names that are that were not drafted, that were not eligible.
Who's next on the list?
Aaliyah, who just, like, lost the tag titles. Inactive due
to... They literally just replaced her with Liv Morgan.
Yeah, literally. Inactive due to unknown reasons. So they're not even giving you a reason why she's not drafted. Big E.
She doesn't know.
Inactive due to a neck injury. That's fair. Big E absolutely should not be drafted.
Absolutely.
Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy. Wyatt has been inactive due to an illness. Is he with Howdy inactive due to Wyatt's absence? That's not what we heard. We heard that Bray Wyatt wasn't there because of, I guess he wanted to do dumb shit. And finally, Triple H went, you know what? Maybe this is too dumb.
This was a bad idea.
We should have never given you
Uncle. We're gonna move past it.
Should have never given you Uncle Howdy. That was a mistake.
Uncle Howdy.
One of the worst things I've ever seen in professional wrestling. Carmella, inactive due to maternity leave. Okay.
Sure. That makes sense. Gable
Stevenson, inactive due to training for the 2024 Olympics. But you're not... Here's what's driving me crazy. You're not drafting them to wrestle tomorrow. You're just drafting them to a roster, so when they come back, that's where they'll be.
Gable Stevenson, if you recall, was drafted to Raw last year. Shannon, quickly, take a guess at how many times Gable Stevenson has showed up on WWE television.
Numerous
and wrestled.
Times. Numerous times, right?
Never. The answer is zero. He has never wrestled a match on television for them, and barely shows up on Raw at all. But he was the draft pick last year.
Yeah, he's probably
at least
one.
They pulled him out of the pool this year.
Logan Paul, he is on a part-time contract, so he makes sense.
Okay, he is the epitome of a character I do not expect to see drafted, and would not expect to see drafted.
Don't
put him in the pool.
Right, he is the epitome of the free agent. I'm Logan Paul. I go where I want, do what I want.
He'll do whatever the hell he wants.
R-Truth, inactive due to a torn quadricep. Hasn't been seen since November of last year. Randy Orton, inactive due to a back injury. Hasn't been seen since May of last year.
For a long time.
Robert Roode, inactive due to neck injury. Last appeared in June of last year.
Sure enough.
Shanky, inactive due to unknown reasons. Last appeared in July.
Probably because he's embarrassed that his fucking name is Shanky.
I knew. So, I don't know if Dalton has this issue too, but playing my faction on WWE, every time they give me a free pack of the new packs that are out, I go, I'm going to get Shanky. I know I will. And twice I've gotten Shanky. And the worst part about it is it's not even a different card. The frame is different, but it's the same Shanky picture on both.
It sounds like you're in a children's prison. I'm going to get Shanky tonight.
Too many Shankies. And then Tommaso Ciampa.
Okay, well, I gotta go. I'll make a name change real quick.
Too many Shankies.
Too many Shankies.
And then Tommaso Ciampa out to a hip injury, hasn't been seen since September. So, okay.
Yeah, I don't hate the I'm injured ones so much. That's fine. But there are definitely a couple there again, like the unknown reasons. You just have no idea why this person wasn't drafted.
You just don't want to give us a reason. That's what it is.
You just don't want to give us a reason. That's what it is. And again, why then are they not? Are they free agents? I was going to say, why aren't they? Maybe they are. If they are, why are they not on the free agent list? Can they not go anywhere and do anything they want?
Tegan Knox.
Why is Brock Lesnar a free agent?
Well, because no one can contain him.
Why? Okay. Hang on.
Yeah?
Because now I'm thinking about something. I'm remembering. We were told on television that Brock Lesnar negotiated a free agency contract. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be a free agent. And then we were also told that MVP, who is Omos's manager, negotiated free agency for Omos. So again, something he wanted. Why are these the only two smart men in the company?
Right.
Why does everyone else want to be on a different show? You're telling me Roman Reigns couldn't send Paul Heyman after somebody and go, I don't want to be contained to a show. Fuck that.
Right.
Triple H is his world title. You can only... No, screw that. You're not going to tell me where I'm going to go. I literally hold the two biggest belts in the company. I'll do whatever I want.
I also want to point out that you talked about the free agents earlier. The people that were not renegotiated to keep free agent status. Well, okay, yeah, reading the names of people who didn't go drafted. Baron Corbin. I get it. That's his storyline. He's sad, I guess.
But again, is that a problem? Is it a problem to be a free agent? Because on one hand, you're telling me this person negotiated it like they wanted it. On the other, it's, oh, that sucks. He didn't get picked up by a show. Which one is it?
Well,
it's got to be one or the other.
Well, also, just it drives me nuts. Here's some people that were not drafted, even though they were eligible. Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, like you said. Former tag team champs, if I remember correctly. Maybe not. I don't even remember.
Why are they floating around?
Dolph Ziggler, former champion and one of the best ever. Elias, say what you will. Mustafa Ali. I still don't know who Von Wagner and Zion Quinn are, but whatever. I'm just talking about Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Dolph Ziggler, Elias, and Mustafa Ali. They were not drafted, but here's people that were drafted. Rick Boogs was drafted.
Yes.
Cameron Grimes was drafted.
To the moon.
Who else was drafted? Akira Tozawa. So you're telling me you would rather have Akira Tozawa than Dolph Ziggler?
Dolph Ziggler, that's somebody you'd rather have on your roster. You're telling me you'd rather have Top Dollar. You'd rather have the entirety of Hit Row who have done exactly jack shit nothing than Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, who probably could have been drafted as a tag.
You would, and I like this person a lot. This is not a shot at her, because I actually really like Dana Brooke. You're telling me you would rather have Dana Brooke than fucking Cedric and Shelton, Dolph, Elias, Mustafa, even Von Wagner. Over Dana Brooke.
Zion Quinn, new talent who you could mold and build up into something. Yeah,
that's insane. And you're not giving me a story reason. And like that just makes him look like shit. The fact that Dolph Ziggler is just moving around the bowl and nobody wants him.
The only time that the free agency thing ever worked, and it's just occurred to me, is the whole like you didn't get drafted and we're going to do something with it. Do you remember the year that Heath Slater didn't get drafted?
But he had kids.
That was a great story. He was literally the only person on the entire roster who did not get drafted to a show. And at the end of the show, they literally turned the lights out on him. They
showed him
just
sitting there.
They were doing a comedy bit.
Yeah.
And then they turned it into an angle where he went to each show desperately trying to get a contract. He finally gets one where he and Rhino are a tag team and they work together and they win the tag team titles. Everyone gets super into him. Rhino, of all people, you know, what, 10 years past his prime? I mean, it was cool. Yeah. It was fun. This makes no sense.
No, I'd say it's insulting, but of course it is. Well, who am I talking to at this point? Let's stop talking about the draft.
Backlash was very good.
Backlash was great.
I didn't watch all of it. I'm sorry.
I barely watched any of it, and it was great.
What I saw, I really enjoyed. Like you said, the crowd was hot for everything. The matches were really good. I really hate that it ended with... probably the biggest mistake they made was ending the show with Cody and Lesnar. Because part of it felt like a foregone conclusion. I don't want to say that we knew he was going to beat Lesnar, because you never know somebody's going to beat Lesnar. But it felt like if they're going to invest anything into Cody, he's got to beat Lesnar. He beat him in kind of a way, basically a roll-up, you know, out of that Kimura lock. But ending the show with that after how hot that crowd was for Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. And I know it sounds crazy to some people to be like, you're going to put Bad Bunny in the main event, this guy who's
in Puerto Rico? Fucking right you are.
In Puerto Rico, yes. Yes.
Hold on. You're talking about Bad Bunny?
You don't even have a title match. Like, yeah. It's not like it was a title match that you were putting on. You could put Lesnar and Cody on earlier than that. Just go for it.
Bad Bunny, who is the biggest recording star in the world, and also is from Puerto Rico. Are we going to put him in the main event?
And he's also an extremely talented wrestler. Like, people talk about how good Logan Paul is, but holy shit, Bad Bunny is good.
I didn't think Bad Bunny was that big. I think he's been working out, because he looked a little bit more jacked than he did when he teamed with Damian Priest. Yeah,
he wanted to be there.
That match was, to me, potentially match of the year, not because I thought the wrestling was so great. It was good. But the fact that Bad Bunny was so good, and that crowd, I have never seen a crowd hotter for a match. Maybe Sami Zayn versus Roman in Canada, because that was also really fucking huge.
Sure, but, yeah.
But my God, the pop that Carlito looked great. I got to work with Carlito last year, I believe it was. Carlito, or maybe it was the year before, he came to CCW. And he was in great shape then. He looked like $1 million. Nice guy. Really cool guy. I did something very illegal for him. And then let's just leave it at that. And one of my little stories that I'll reveal one day when I'm out of the wrestling world and I put out my memoir. But you know, between that and Savio Vega was treated like a legend. I mean, that was just such a good match. It had such a good feel to it. It felt great. The show itself felt really good, kind of top to bottom. There wasn't anything on the show that I absolutely hated. And I actually really liked the way that the Cody and Brock thing led into Monday. Because I'm actually a fan of what Brock did. The fact that he was so... Now he's mad. He was so mad. Just him yelling, look at my face. Look at my face. What do you want to talk about, Cody? I thought that was good. And I am all for a rematch of them. But I wouldn't have ended the show with that. It should have absolutely been Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. Because like you said, you're in Puerto Rico. Lesnar hates working the main events anyway. Let him do the opening match.
He wants to go home.
He wants to go home. You know how long it is to get from Puerto Rico back to
Michigan
bumfuck?
Or wherever? Yeah. Minnesota? I don't know where the fuck he's from.
Wherever the fuck. Where's he from? I don't know.
I don't fucking care.
Ah, shit.
I don't want to harp back on this too much, but like, yeah, I appreciate that Lesnar did the whole look at my face. That's going to be memed to death, by the
look
way.
At look face! At my face!
The way he says it. But
he was mad.
At the same time, we really still don't have a reason why Brock Lesnar hates Cody Rhodes. Like, we really don't.
Well, he did to his face?
He still never explained why he went after him. But he still never explained why he went after him the first time. All it had to be was, if I can't have those fucking belts for Roman Reigns, you can't either. And you're the only one who got close enough that I had to do something about it.
Right.
That's it. I know that that's like, oh, it makes him look weak. It's fucking wrestling. Everything makes everybody look weak. That's the only way wrestling works. Somebody's got to look a little weak every once in a while. You got to have some flaws. It's like superheroes. There's got to be some like kryptonite, something that fucks you up. I still don't understand why Brock Lesnar wants to fight Cody Rhodes. I still don't understand why he's so mad. The look at my face thing is funny, and I guess it adds a little to it. And don't get me wrong, if it leads to, and I feel like if anybody would do it, it's him. If it leads to Cody Rhodes referencing dashing Cody Rhodes with the clear protective face mask and the bags over the head and all that, if it leads to him referencing that, it won't be worth it, but at least I'll feel a little bit validated. But I don't understand this feud at all. It feels like we are just spinning our fucking wheels so Roman Reigns can get those 1,000 days. So, and then it'll be like, all right, well, I guess you can have it now that I broke a record. Have fun, three-month champ. We'll give it to somebody else later.
I'm assuming you did not see Brock Lesnar's face.
Did see Brock Lesnar's face. I seen
it. That's all I got. That's all I got, man.
Listen, I don't know, man.
So
but you're telling. I'm sorry. Hang on. Hey, wait a minute. You're telling me Brock Lesnar, the ranch, you know, country ass kicking dude, he wants to run around on his farm and his ATV and get into UFC fights
Fuck
and all this shit. is mad because he has a scar on his nose?
Did you see it?
You're telling me that he's mad that Cody Rhodes was able to make him bleed? Like, a bunch of fucking people have made him bleed. Randy Orton made him bleed. He didn't do that to him.
Yeah, but, like, man.
I don't know.
His face, man.
Ugh. No, it's okay. I know we joked about the introduction to this, but I feel like now maybe it's an outro song. Like, maybe we need to end this with the Rob Conway music. Just look at me. If Lesnar starts coming out to that, at least then I'll understand why.
Wearing the face mask and all that.
With the face mask, yeah. He's got the bags and he's putting them over people's heads and
Did I ever tell you what I wanted to do in CCW, but we never got to?
Which one? You've told me many things. So, I have a litany of these.
Back when I was still a bad guy, what I wanted to do, and I had talked to a couple people about it, and they were all for it, but I ended up just not doing it. Because, I don't know, I don't know why I didn't do it because I thought it was a good idea. But I wanted to do like a Joker thing and kind of beat people up. And when we beat people up, I would take like lipstick or something like that and draw a smile on their face and just say, look, I just want to put a smile on people's faces. You know, I just want to put a smile on your face. So, like,
I hate it.
I did an interview.
It's a little Joker. I get it. I get where it's a little Jokerish. From, but...
I did an interview with this kid. He does a lot of big interviews online with
little kid,
you know, the little kid, right? What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he did an interview with me, and I talked to his dad, and his dad was all for it. I was gonna fucking punk the kid out and draw a smile on his face, and I think that's when I went. I was like, no, I can't do this. I can't draw on this kid's face.
What if you like? If you ever go back heel and you want to do it again, instead of like having the lipstick or a marker or whatever, what if you just, like, especially if you have lackeys, this would be the best, you get them to just, like, hook the corners of their mouth
and take a picture
while they're knocked out, and then you get down real close with them, you know, and they're, like, they've got their corners of their mouths pulled up, and you're just hanging out by them, like, see, look, I'm just here to put a smile on your face.
And then I'll tell them, look at me, and then he doesn't look at me, I'll be like, look at me, you know.
Look at me or I can't, no.
Look me in the eye or I can't come, kid. Oh, God, please, no one take that. I've been taking these. Don't anyone take that clip and put it online.
Shannon, I want to know, when are you going to have me on one of those records instead of those clowns you got clowning around downtown?
Oh, hell, Tanner, who says I record downtown? Yeah. Anyway,
Backlash was good. The draft was stupid. That's what you missed in 2 weeks.
Raw existed, and I'm sure it was fine. Wrestling's great.
Britt Baker's got a stupid ass shirt. Anna Jay's got a much better shirt that I think is hilarious.
Bad attitude and a fat ass.
That's it. My wife still was like, I kind of like it. I kind of want one.
Tickets on sale now for CCW Mayhem featuring your boy. And the first ever CCW First Blood match, me and Austin Lane, one-on-one. Rope to rope and pillar to post, the best of the best. I'm going to rename him Bloodiest of the Bloodiest. That is May 27th, the last Saturday of the month. Yeah. So we're going to end the show with that. And we're going to get out of here because nothing more needs to be said. Thank you, Jesse Kimble. I confirmed, by the way, obviously, that Jesse messaged me and he said, so obviously, I assumed that you guys hadn't started yet, and I wanted it in there. he was going to record it in there. Yeah, I thought it was fun. So thank you, Jesse, for that special intro. And for those of you wondering, well, why'd you do that? Because I thought it was funny. So that's it. For myself, and for Double H, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with an all-new After Dark with a new top five.
What is our top five? Top five fictional
bands that we unironically love. Lindsay asked me, she's like, so is it stupid? I'm like, no, it's fine. Everyone seemed excited about it.
I like it.
I just don't know how well I'll be able to participate because there's only one song I can think of from a band that doesn't actually exist that I listen to regularly. I know
exactly which one it is.
I
could say it right now, but I won't.
Well, go ahead because no one's listening to this show.
It's the Clash of Demon Head.
It's Clash of Demon Head. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was.
You're right.
It's just metric. I mean, it's just metric, but with Brie Larson as the lead singer, and really, it's the better choice.
Which everyone always thought. Wait, which one, Metric or Brie Larson? Because I actually like
Brie Larson as the lead singer. I mean, I like them both, but I think in that character that she's playing, Envy Adams, I think it really fits better for that song. Yeah, at the very least for that song specifically, yeah, for Black Sheep.
I mean, the metric version is also really good, but I agree. And I used to like the metric version better, but I've come to appreciate the Brie Larson version more.
Well, I know we've talked about this before, and I know it's not wrestling, but the movie adds to it with the back and forth, the, oh, yeah, and then Scott just going, oh no.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so much better with those two little bits going back and forth.
Also,
did you know, by the way, sorry not to keep fucking combo breaking this here, did you know Bill Hader is the one doing the introductions in that scene? What is the voice that goes, and now it's time for Toronto to drown in the sweet sorrows
I did not
of the Clash at Demon Head? It's Bill Hader.
I did
look it up.
Yeah, for those of
it's like the only thing he does in the whole movie.
And for those of you out there wondering, Clash at Demon Head was also a Nintendo game. In fact,
it was.
Most of those things were named
most
after
of the
Nintendo.
Bands. Yeah. Crash and the Boys. You know, Crash that band the boys. Crash and those boys.
Yes. Yes, that was all good. Did you also know that Brie Larson is a singer? People always go, man, she sounds really good singing Black Sheep. And I'm like, yeah, that's because she was a singer before she was an actress. Of course she sounds good singing it.
I weirdly knew that because she sang on there was a show, a short-lived little show over on Showtime called United States of Tara.
I remember that show.
That had oh my god, who's the, is it oh my god, her name's getting away, the lead character, the lead actress in that show. She was in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. She's in every fucking thing now.
It's is it Toni Collette?
That's it. Yep. Yeah. Toni Collette. Yeah, and she was great in that show. She's schizophrenic, and Brie Larson's her daughter. It's a whole thing. It's a good show. We watched it one summer.
Toni Collette, by the way, is just one of the all-time great actresses. That's so all, talented. That's all I wanted to say. She's
I'm
so
now
good.
Thinking that I'm wrong about that, though, because she's Nurse Jackie, isn't she? No, that's somebody else. Toni Collette is United States.
I looked it up. Nurse she Jackie? Is. Nurse Jackie was Edie Falco, wasn't it?
Edie Falco. There you go. That's who that was.
So, if you've never seen it before, one of the greatest modern horror films, A24, Hereditary.
Hell yeah!
In one of the best, one of the best performances I've ever seen.
A harrowing film.
Oh, it's just harrowing. It's disturbing. It's disturbing. Oh, anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. We'll be back tomorrow night with an all new After Dark. Until then, for myself and Double H, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back with next week with more wrestling news. Hoping something fucking happens. Hunter, take us out.
With his first round in the 2023 draft pick, Raw selects Five Finger Death Punch because it's music for divorced cops. Later.
It's music for free agents.
I like that better.
Thank you. Bye.